Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, November 19th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. For the first time since the 2010 crash of Coast Guard helicopter 6017, the incident's sole survivor has granted an interview to the news media. Lieutenant Lance Leone was the only one of four-person crew from Air Station Sitka to make it through the crash, which happened off the coast of La Push, Washington. The crew was flying a newly refit Jayhawk helicopter from Air Station Astoria back to Sitka.
So the morning of the mishap, we all woke up. We had breakfast at a hotel in Astoria. Everyone was very, very happy to have had the opportunity to go to Astoria. It was one of the warmest couple days on record down there. So leaving Sitka, heading down to Astoria, where it was beautiful, taking the opportunity to do lots of shopping at Costco. We were all very motivated to get back home.
In an interview with KCAW, Leone talks about the accident, its immediate aftermath, and how it shaped his life and his career since. But since the time limitations in this newscast, we're airing the conversation in three parts, today through Wednesday, in place of the usual morning interview. You can hear part one this morning at 8:18 a.m. The tightest legislative race in Alaska just got tighter. Haines Republican Bill Thomas and Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins are now in a dead heat in the contest to represent District 34 in the Alaska House. And there are still more ballots to count by the time it's all over on Wednesday. Margaret Friedenauer of KHNS has more.
On Friday morning, Division of Elections Director Gail Fanumiai said the office counted two question ballots from Port Alexander. Both went to Christ Tompkins. He was trailing Thomas by two votes after more than 2,100 absentee ballots were counted earlier this week. But the vote counting isn't over. Fanumiai said at least 85 absentee ballots will be counted Monday, and there's a potential for up to 128 more to be received in time for the final vote count on Wednesday. At that point, Christ Tompkins said he anticipates a recount.
Yeah, with anything this close, I think it makes sense to have maximum diligence.
Thomas agreed that a recount is likely. If the two men are tied up after the final vote count, the state automatically schedules and pays for a recount, according to Fanumiai. She says if less than 20 votes or half a percentage point separates the two candidates, then the defeated candidate can officially request a recount and it will still be paid for by the state. If there is a wider margin of difference, the candidate behind on votes can request a recount but must pay a deposit. In the meantime, Christ Tompkins said he's home in Sitka trying to stay upbeat about the long process.
I mean, we're just having a whole lot of fun right now. It's just because it's, I mean, you know, this calendar of vote counting couldn't be scheduled in more, in a more sort of maximally entertaining fashion. So we're pleased to be the source of such quality electoral entertainment.
Thomas, on the other hand, doesn't see a bright side in all of this. He's still disappointed in the loss of representation for the district among House committees and leadership. Without a clear winner in the race, the Republicans assigned committees and chairs without Thomas, who served as co-chair of finance the last 2 years.
What's sad is that we lost the co-chair of the finance for Southeast. I think there's no way to recover from that, and I don't know if we'll ever be able to.
Christ Tompkins said the ongoing vote counting does make it challenging for him to either move on from the election or make plans to move to Juneau.
So yeah, I'm, you know, sort of on background, having conversations with potential staffing hires and trying to learn the ins and outs about legislative rules and offices, session dates, planning the calendar, that kind of thing.
Meanwhile, Thomas said he's occasionally going into his legislative office in Haines, but otherwise hunkered down at home, awaiting results and working on next season's fishing gear.
Right now, I'm sitting here tying halibut gear. Life goes on.
Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friedenauer.
The race between Bill Thomas and Jonathan Christ Tompkins is tied, but it's not unprecedented. At least one legislator can relate to whatever emotions the two candidates for House District 34 must be feeling right now. State Representative Bryce Edgman is a Democrat from Dillingham. In 2006, Edgman and longtime State Representative Carl Moses faced a tie in the Democratic primary.
That is fondly now, a number of years later. I don't think I'd wish it on anybody at this point.
The 2006 primary was ultimately decided by a coin toss.
Present, and I think every possible media outlet, radio, television, print, you name it, was there dramatic, and you know, we'd never really done anything like this before, not in modern history. And really, it came down to just a flip of a coin that hit the side of a sea otter pellet that was on the floor, just sort of a symbolic covering of the floor, and bounced up to tails. And at that moment, I knew I had won. And within about 15 seconds, my brother had jumped up on stage and literally almost pushed me back in my chair, and the whole place erupted in applause and very, very dramatic scenes.
That's State Representative Bryce Edgman, a Democrat from Dillingham, who won the 2006 Democratic primary for House by virtue of a coin toss. Chances are extremely slim that the tie will remain in the race between Thomas and Christ Tompkins. Election officials are scheduled to continue counting absentee ballots today, which should change the totals. The Hoonah man who was convicted this month of murder of two police officers wants a new trial on whether one of the officers was actually in performance of his official duties. The difference could mean as much as 79 years taken off his potential sentence. Matt Miller has more from Juneau.
A jury returned with guilty verdicts against John Nick Marvin Jr. on November 3rd. They also issued findings of fact on whether Sergeant Anthony Wallace and Officer Matthew Tokaoka were clearly identifiable police officers. Wallace was on duty and in uniform during the shooting of August 28, 2010, but Tokaoka had not yet reported for duty that night and was not yet in uniform. Marvin could be sentenced to anywhere from 20 to 99 years for Tokaoka's murder, but a straight 99 years for Wallace's murder, because the sentence for first-degree murder of a police officer is defined in statute. Marvin's attorney, public defender Eric Hedlund, wrote in a motion filed November 5th that Wallace's socializing with the Tokaoka family was not part of his official duties. Hedlund has called for a new trial to make that determination. It's unclear, though, if it would be another jury trial or a bench trial in which only the judge makes such a ruling. Hedlund calls Wallace pulling up behind the Tokaoka's vehicle on Front Street in Hoonah and a patrol vehicle a sham traffic stop. Hedlund also refers to a civil lawsuit filed by Haley Tokaoka against the city of Hoonah that Wallace shined his flashlight at Marvin's house for no reason, instead of an official reason like investigating a potential crime. According to testimony during the trial, Tokaoka may have been worried that Wallace's flashlight would antagonize Marvin. It was perhaps minutes later that Marvin fired a rifle from a second-story window of his home. District Attorney Dave Brower opposes a new trial, writing that Wallace was in the midst of performing his official duties, and a jury has already made that determination beyond a reasonable doubt. Brower refers to an example of a beat cop who might stop and chat with a store owner for a few minutes. No indication from Superior Court Judge David George yet if or when the motion for another trial would be granted. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Alaska State Troopers are searching for a missing 31-year-old survivalist from Wisconsin who set out alone in the Alaska wilderness in late September. Thomas Seibold of Three Lakes, Wisconsin, is described as an experienced outdoorsman who works as an instructor at the Talking Drum Outdoor School. The Anchorage Daily News says Seibold had planned to stay in the Northwest Alaska backcountry through October and had booked a flight home to Wisconsin on November 15th. Troopers spokeswoman Beth Isbin says Seibold didn't make the flight. Tyramak Song, director of Talking Drum Outdoor School, says Seibold traveled to Alaska in June, staying first at an Alaska Native fish camp in southeast Alaska before heading north. Republicans are looking to capitalize on their newfound control of the Alaska legislature, taking on oil taxes and raising social issues dear to more conservative members. This month's election helped dismantle the bipartisan coalition that ruled the Senate since 2007 and resulted in Republicans controlling both legislative chambers and holding the governor's office for the first time since 2006. Governor Sean Parnell says he was pleased with the results. He says GOP gains, particularly on the Senate side, show Alaskans are concerned about the economy and wanted to change some of the direction there. Not immediately clear is who will take the lead on oil taxes. Parnell's spokeswoman says it's too early to say whether Parnell will submit a bill of his own or leave that to lawmakers. An Anchorage detoxification center has reopened after suspending service in August following a state audit that put the center's nursing staff in question. The Anchorage Daily News says licensed practical nurses at the Ernie Turner Center had assessed addicts getting help with alcohol and drug withdrawal symptoms, but after the audit, the state nursing board said that the LPNs were exceeding the level of care their licenses allow. Cook Inlet Tribal Council runs the 12-bed center, which increased its staffing of more extensively trained registered nurses. Kristen English, the center's operation director, said the nursing increase was made at an additional cost of more than $100,000 annually. She said the center is waiting to hear if the state will increase funding to cover the cost. The center reopened last week. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. Today, expect rain and snow in the morning, then rain showers likely in the afternoon. Little or no snow accumulation, with highs around 42, east wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, rain showers possibly mixed with snow. Little or no snow accumulation, with lows around 31, east wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tuesday, decreasing clouds, slight chance of snow, with slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Highs around 37, with northeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of snow and rain, highs around 36, with northeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. And happening in the community calendar, the Easter Group will hold a Project Homeless Summit at Harrigan Centennial Hall today, 9 a.m. to 12:30. Four panel discussions will identify resources, review approaches, increase communication, and determine unmet needs of Sitka's homeless. From 1:30 to 3:30, a mini Project Homeless Connect will be held to provide direct services to homeless and those at risk being homeless. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.